Welcome to From Doubt to Destiny,
the podcast where dreams come alive. I'm Eden Ryder, the dream maker.
And I'm Stacey Trott, the queen maker. We're here to give your dreams the royal treatment that they deserve. Get ready to unlock your queen
and unleash her dreams.
Welcome to From Doubt to Destiny. Thank you for joining us today. Every episode, we hope, will have this format that we're going to introduce, or we may have already, but the format will be, we're going to introduce a topic, we're going to discuss the tension around that topic, and then we are going to hopefully share some transformative thoughts and ideas that we have discovered or that we will uncover in the conversation. And then we will wrap up with a summary of some takeaways in the hopes that you will have some action items that you can implement, some ways of thinking about this topic differently after the discussion. And then we have our development journey path, where we're going to kind of walk through how you can take a thought of an idea around this topic to from doubt to destiny. So we hopefully guide you through it. Happy accident that we just kind of figured that out. So our topic today is, drumroll, imposter syndrome. That's a weighty topic. That's a weighty phrase. What does it even mean? It probably means something maybe slightly different to each person and how they're thinking about it. I think it's very personal and subjective, but it's something that many women face. I will say, just without looking at a definition, which I will read in a moment, when I think of imposter syndrome, I just think of feeling like a fraud. So you're showing up in a room and you're either like, how did I get in this room? I don't belong in this room. Or I'm not going to go for this thing because I don't belong in that room. It's a lot of like, should I, shouldn't I, and I shouldn't is the outcome. So feeling like a fraud is how I would say. I remember it's bringing back a huge imposter syndrome moment for me. By day, I'm an attorney. And when I went from being an associate to being a partner, I remember the first time I walked into a partner meeting. And so I had always been, you know, on the outside. And now I'm in the room, and I remember walking in the room and thinking, I don't belong in this room. And it was just, it's new, uncomfortable, unfamiliar. I did belong in this room. I had worked my behind off to get into that room. But the feeling that showed up is more like, you're a fraud, you shouldn't be in here. And so that's probably what I would say imposter syndrome feels like. That's how it showed up for me in a very vivid way in a moment in time. That all these years later, I still remember. It was like over a decade ago, and I can still remember what the room looked like, what I felt right, all those things. So imposter syndrome is weighty because it's a strong feeling that can prevent you from either doing or being. So when I Googled what does imposter syndrome mean, the definition that came up is the persistent inability to believe that one's success is deserved or has been legitimately achieved as a result of one's own efforts or skills. So that example is exactly that. I had done the work. I had achieved the title. I was legitimately in the room, and yet I walked in thinking, you don't belong in here. So that's the tension, I would say, around that word. And I gave an example of how it shows up, has shown up for me. I could probably give you several more, but Eden, how would you define imposter syndrome for you, and an example of how it shows up?
Yeah, I think for me, the feeling is more when I'm like trying something new or considering it, it's immediately this like little voice in my head of like, who do you think you are? Like, kind of why you, or like, you're not that special, or like, why would you ever think you could do this? And then I think of all these like amazing people, and I'm like, well, of course it makes sense for them, but like, not I'm not that level. Yeah. And I think most recently where it like really showed up was when I was like left the corporate world, and I was like on maternity leave with my daughter. Well, I had already made the decision of like, I'm not going back to the corporate world and like staying home with my daughter. And I'd always desired to like start my own business. And that process of actually like doing it, where I was like, you can't do this. Like, why do you think you can start your own business? And like, it came up a lot, and thankfully I was in therapy, so there was a lot that we like really worked around, but it just was always like just so like persistent, and like at every turn,
how would you feel it for you? I think you said a little bit of like, it's being afraid to try something is how it shows up for you. More I than think, I achieve something and then like.
Yeah, I was going to say, it's not the achieval of it. I think for me, it's more. Because I think for me, like certain things, like I don't think I had so much weight on them. So like I was fine, like success easy in ways, but that wasn't how I, what I found the value in. So I was like, oh yeah, I did that. But that's not like really what I'm looking forward to doing in life. Where I was more like, I think maybe because it wasn't like, I wasn't career driven.
Yes.
Like it was more like become a wife, become a mom. Where now it's like I'm actually following my dreams. So these are things that actually have weight to me.
Yeah.
So now that I'm like thinking about doing these things, I'm like, shoot, like, can you actually
who do, you do think
this?
You are?
Yeah. Like, so who do you think you are? Like, why do you think you can do that? So I think for me, it shows up more. I think it's a worthiness, actually, strangely. I think it actually does fall into like a worthiness thing for me of like enoughness and like, am I worthy of that?
I love that. Is enoughness a word? If it's
not, I don't think it's probably not. No, no, I make
up
words.
I love making up words because then you know when you're using them, like, I mean it. It's for emphasis and impact, words we like. So enoughness, I love it. That's actually a really, we're going to do something on enoughness. Because like worthy is very popular now.
Right.
Speaking of worthy, there is an author who wrote a book that has a quote and some statistics. So why don't you share those with us?
So Jamie Kern Lima, she's one that founded It Cosmetics, and she recently came out with a book called Worthy, but she had an so before the book came out, I'd seen she had an interview with Oprah of all, yes, how amazing, and she read those statistics that kind of, it was like a big like eye-opening factor of when she was writing this book, but it says right now 80% of girls and women don't believe they're enough. 75% of female executives deal with imposter syndrome, and 91% of girls and women don't love their bodies. So
hold on, let's slow down so people can digest that. What was the first one?
80% of girls and women don't believe they're enough.
Okay, that's so enoughness.
I feel like that's kind of where I was falling. Yeah. Like I'd say I fall into where I feel like aligns with me.
And that's 80%. So yes. That's like, what is that? Not many, that's most.
Right, okay. Say majority.
And then, yeah.
And then the 75% of female executives deal with imposter syndrome, which is interesting because I feel like that's what you were saying.
Yes. I'm an executive in the business world, a woman who's accomplished a lot, and yet sometimes I walk in rooms and it's this little voice that says, who do you think you are?
Yeah.
You don't belong in here.
Right.
75% of women are feeling business, women executives, what you just said.
Are saying they deal with imposter syndrome.
Okay. It shows up. Imagine if I knew when I walked in a room that 3 out of the 4 women in the room are
felt exactly the same way.
Correct. So this is why knowing these stats is really important. I'm going to slow down and pause on the emphasis of it. Okay, and then the last one, which was like the highest number, makes me sad.
And yes, that 91% of girls and women don't love their bodies. So I think that falls into like worthiness and enoughness.
Totally. I remember watching something that just pops into my mind of a mom who was always criticizing her body in front of her daughter.
No, but it's funny. Today it came up while we were getting our makeup done. Yeah. I had that conversation literally with
your makeup artist. Yeah. We were in different chairs, not near each other. So I didn't hear the conversation.
Yeah.
And it was like not knowing this, the thing that I saw, I don't remember where I saw it. It was years ago, but the little girl developed a issue with how she saw her body, not based on her own perspective, but from watching her mom criticize her body. She then absorbed that and thought that was how she was supposed to see herself. Right. So little girls and women are having 91%. That's almost 100.
Yeah, it's heartbreaking.
Which is terrible. Yeah. Yes. So those stats are important to mention because those are a motivator or examples of imposter syndrome. Okay. And that was a motivator for her
book. Yeah. And then, which we thought was very interesting reading this. So I've seen snippets of the book. It's on my read list for sure. So highly recommend it. But Jamie says she wrote Worthy for you if you have some self-doubt to destroy and a destiny to fulfill.
How apropos.
So.
Yeah. Self-doubt to destroy and a destiny to fulfill. Very much in line. Maybe at some point we'll have her on the show so we can have a conversation with her about it. Yes. Right? We're putting it out
Dream.
There. So because she wrote that somewhere sitting in another part of wherever of the world, right? With that thought, that quote got crystallized, and somewhere in another portion of time, we were being guided to create this podcast, and we came up with from Doubt to Destiny. And I don't think it's a coincidence that those two things are aligning in this moment. So, okay, so we know what it is, or at least we know some examples of how it shows up. And so I would say the tension around that is, it's a negative thing if you think about it. If we ended the conversation right now, I would say imposter syndrome is terrible.
Yes.
It produces these terrible statistics. It shows up in these negative ways. And many people who are encounter it, it's a burden and not a benefit. So, okay, let's move from the tension into some transformative thoughts, because we can't end with the tension. No. We just can't end with the tension. So the transformation, I'll share that probably around the time, maybe 5 or 6 years ago, my lovely husband bought me Sheryl Sandberg's book, Lean In. I had been in rooms where there were discussions about the book and there's a lot of opinions and charges around it, but I'd never read it. And so I only knew what was said about it. It happened to coincide with me being on vacation, and I literally started it and could not put the book down. So feel what you want, think what you want. It impacted me in a yes, it impacted me in a positive way, and I'm grateful that she wrote the book. And one of the things that I remember was a takeaway for me from it is there's a chapter in the book where she talks about ending up on, and I'm paraphrasing, on one of those powerful women lists. Like either top 10 or top 40, something that was even smaller than 40. And she was like, I couldn't believe that I was on the list with women that I've admired that are, you know, she saw herself small in comparison to these women. And yet someone had put her on this list and she felt this feeling of, I don't belong on this list. And I don't remember what else she said in it, but my takeaway from however she framed it was that, okay, if Sheryl Sandberg, who at the time was the COO of Facebook, one of the mega companies in the world, has had moments of imposter syndrome, what if imposter syndrome is this thing that is just going to exist and it's going to be present and it's not going anywhere? How do you then have a relationship with it where it's not going to be an impediment? And I don't want to take full credit, because definitely reading the book helped frame this thought for me, and because I don't remember what the chapter said, but I walked away from reading that and I said, okay, if it's not going anywhere, where am I going to put it so that it is not a problem for me? And I visualized that I was driving the car that is my life, or at least a passenger. If I sometimes when it's straight for me, I'm like, God's driving, I'm, you know, being led. But if this imposter syndrome is going to be in any orbit of the car, guess where it's not going to be? On the inside. And most importantly for me, I visually put it in the trunk. And so for me, it was like, if it's going to be along for the ride, it's going to be in such a unimportant, irrelevant, non-controllable place that it can make all the noise it wants in that back trunk. I'm up here in the car. I'm going to put the music on. I'm going to do it anyway, and I'm just going to let it come. And when I hear the little voice that says, who do you think you are? I'm going to say, I'm Stacy Trot, and I'm moving towards the feelings that are uncomfortable. So that was one way that I transformed, instead of like, how do I get rid of it? Which I think at least 5 or 6 years ago, the conversations that I was exposed to were about, how do you get over it? How do you get around it? How do you get rid of it? And it was like, don't get rid of it. Don't get over it. Don't get around it. Put that thing in the trunk and keep going. And that's how I literally helped myself get into a mindset of, I don't care if I hear, who do you think you are? The answer is, I am who I am, and I'm going to move forward. And when I find myself in rooms where I think, I remember she does say one other story in that book that resonated with me, which was women tend to walk into a room, and if there's a table,
yes,
and there are chairs around the table, and then there were chairs around the circumference of the room, women will sit in the seats that are around the circumference of the room, and they won't take a seat at the table. Thankfully, I remember walking into that first partner meeting thinking, I don't belong in this room, but I took a seat at that table. So there was enough boldness in me to know, like, a she did it anyway energy was there, even if I didn't have language for it. But there was a chapter where she talks about take the seat at the table. So that's two takeaways I would say for me around the transformational thought is sit at the table. Don't find that seat on the outskirts with your pad thinking I'll just be an observer in the room and take notes. Sit at the table, and if you have something to say, say it. And take the imposter syndrome along the ride for you. And in this space, hopefully, we're opening it up for more people to talk about it, because I wish I knew that some of the other women in that room may have had the same feeling that I was having, and we just didn't know. So what's some transformative ways that you have shifted your relationship with imposter syndrome?
I think for me, similar, it was kind of like a reframing of it. But I think also what really helped for me is, I think I mentioned at the time, I started going to hypnotherapy. So when I'd bring these things up, it was kind of like I started understanding like quite literally how your mind works.
Yeah.
So I can be very logical at times.
Which
so,
is a good thing.
Yeah. So like understanding like a science behind, like I'm very like faith-based and all of that. But then also sometimes I'm like, okay, this is just how it works. So like understanding that kind of gives me like a permission of like, just this is how it works. So understanding that's like, oh, it's not me. Like it's just, this is what happens. So understanding that like your mind is literally at all times calculating, like, is this good for me? Is this bad for me? So like flight or fight is like kicking in. So if you're used to always like your mind, like you want to be comfortable. So you want to be in a place that you're safe. I know this. I can go on to autopilot. I can do this every day. Like you're subconsciously can just kick in and like you're going.
There's no danger.
So actually like the therapist at the time, he said, he even gave the example of like, think about something as simple as like if you move the trash can in your house, how many times are you going to automatically just go back to
where it used to be? Yeah.
So it's not that like you just move the trash can, like it's not that serious, but you for so long have done some things differently that it's going to take a while for you to acclimate to the fact that it's now here. So even when you're trying something new, it's not that you're like not good at it, you don't deserve it. It's just literally
it's change.
It's new. You're not used to doing this. And also you've like your brain has created pathways in your brain to do it this way. And now you're basically saying it like, we're not going down this path anymore. We're going to forge a completely new one and make that one obsolete. So
hold on one second. Are you saying that that's imposter syndrome in that moment when you're trying to reprogram that imposter syndrome is what that like it's what that it's a description
to
for
me
that
it's
feeling.
Helped me realize of like me feeling these things we don't need to label it bad, like you like your survival mechanism is kicking in of like literally asking you like am I in danger, like back whenever, like, is there, like, a saber-toothed tiger about to run after me? Like, it's literally just, like, instinctual instincts, like, kicking in of, is this something that is going to harm me? So just learning, for me, it was like, okay, so this, like, fear or this feeling like I can't do this or this is hard or, like, this means I'm not, like, this feeling that I'm not supposed to do it was just learning that, like, that's normal. So I'm going to feel this, but what if I, again, like, do it anyway, like lean into the fear and just start literally training myself that that's going to be a feeling. I'm like, you kind of like same thing you said of I'm going to feel this, but reframing that it's not a bad thing.
Yes. It's like embracing the feeling of discomfort as a positive feeling one should have when we're growing and stretching.
Yes.
It's almost like, and this is something that I hope is a takeaway if there was an action item, is look across your life. If you can't find an area, not that you're unhappy with, but that you're not uncomfortable in,
right,
then I would challenge one to think, am I growing? If I'm on autopilot, just doing what I know how to do, I clock in at this time, I do these 7 things, I take a break, I do 7 more things, I clock out, I go home. It's almost like I could do it with my eyes closed. Then you're probably not feeling imposter syndrome around that thing. And then the next question is, should I be still doing this thing or should I possibly be considering ways to level up?
Yeah.
I heard someone say, again, don't know who to credit it to, but they helped me have another thought. Cheryl did with her lean in examples. And then this one was, imposter syndrome is just what one feels like when you're trying something new.
Mm-hmm.
they're, like you said, it's a different thing. I'm in a new space. I'm in a new place. And the way they said it, and I could find the way it was described, but it was like, you should have at least one, if not more, areas in your life where you're feeling imposter syndrome, because that means you're growing. That means you're stretching. That means you're, as soon as you, in my profession as an attorney, as soon as I've mastered something, I typically end up then having to delegate it and then take on a new challenge.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
And that's at times kind of frustrating, because you're like, oh, I kind of want to just like do what I do well. But if you're doing that, then you're not growing. And I remember hearing someone say, you're either growing or you're dying, but you're never standing still. So if that's true, either I'm moving forward or I'm moving backwards, but there is no such thing as I'm just kind of hanging out. I found a spot and I'm chilling. That means I'm probably sliding backwards and I just don't know it because I'm not paying enough attention. So find a challenge, master it, delegate it, or leave it behind you and move on to whatever the next level is. In my training, when I work out with my trainer, as soon as I figure out how to do something well and I could do 15 of it easy, he adds a level of complexity to it. I'm like, dude, what are you doing? And he's like, if it's that easy, then we have to add a challenge. Otherwise, you're not growing. So I have shifted from where I 5 years ago thought imposter syndrome was this terrible thing I had to figure out how to get rid of. Now it's a thing that I embrace. I have several areas in my life where I probably have moments of, who do you think you are? This podcast is one of them. And we share, one of the therapists I have, we share, she recommended him and he's amazing. And I remember saying to him when I shared that we were going to do this podcast that I heard, who do you think you are? I literally heard that voice in my head. Who do you think you are? And I said to him, like, what do I do with this? I feel called. This is an assignment, but there's this voice that's, I don't got a good answer. And I didn't in that moment because it was, there was too much truth in it for me. And his answer, which really landed very hard and heavy of in truth for me, was the response to that voice of, who do you think you are, is, I am, I think it was, I am the one who sent me.
Yeah.
And I'm not phrasing it correctly, but it was like, I am the one who sent me. And well, no, this is it. Sorry. I butchered it. It's, when you see me, you see me, you see he who has sent me. And for me, that was like, okay, yep. Who do I think I am? I'm sent. I'm called. I'm chosen. I'm on assignment. Mm-hmm. It's bigger than me. It's coming to me to come through me. It's not about me. It's about the assignment. It's about the calling. And so now I don't even hear, who do you think you are anymore around this? Because I answered it. And so it's not asking the question anymore. So it's a beautiful thing. And one takeaway for that was, when you hear those voices that resonate as imposter syndrome, share it with somebody because they can probably help you give an answer that you may not be able to come up with yourself. We both literally said we took something we were struggling with to him and then he helped us have a different response or thought around it. And here we are, no longer having the issue with those things anymore. So I would say a huge transformational thought is, see imposter syndrome as positive.
Absolutely.
So we're going to do some takeaways. I think I crystallized a few. Eden mentioned some. I'm just going to reiterate the two that I think are takeaways. One is, see it as a positive, embrace it, run towards it, and also reposition where it sits in your life, knowing that you're likely not going to be able to get rid of it, but you can neutralize it by, my example, put it in the trunk. So you recognize it's there. So when it pops up, if it's in the trunk, you're not like, where the heck did this come from? Correct. It's not leading the way. Let it be behind you so that when it shows up, you're not like, how come I haven't conquered this? Why haven't I gotten rid of this? It's like, no, it's very common. We just gave you some statistics. 3 out of 4 women are in the professional space are feeling it. So it's not going to go away, but you can make its voice much quieter until you're able to see it as a positive. So I'm in a season of where, if I'm feeling imposter syndrome, I'm doing it right.
Yeah, no, absolutely.
I'm doing it right. So those are 2 takeaways. Reframe it in your mind as a positive and move it to a place where it's not leading.
Mm-hmm.
What takeaways would you like our listeners to take away?
I think, again, similar. It's the reframing it. And also, like you said, I think if there's like a dream or even like it's things like I desire to do, if I literally can go through the process and I'm like, oh, I could do that tomorrow. So A, do I really want it? But like, is that truly a dream?
Yeah.
So like, I think a dream or something that you really want, it should scare you. It actually, like, yes. Now I'm to the point, it should scare me a little bit. I should be like, I have no clue how I'm going to do that.
Yeah.
I don't think I have the resources. I don't think I have everything it takes, because the one thing I have learned is anything you go through, I think that is like worthwhile, or even like new roles you take on, like becoming a wife, becoming a mother, becoming like doing all these things together, you are a completely like new version of yourself.
Yes.
So the person that is going to fulfill that destiny or be that, like, you can't know those, all those things, because
she doesn't exist yet.
She doesn't exist yet.
Yeah.
Which is a beaut, like, again, it's actually now like a beautiful thing.
Yeah.
Because everything you're going to go through, and if it is like a little bit of a struggle or like it's hard, like the person you're going to be on the other side is amazing. So yeah. If, again, like, I think it's, if you can reframe it of, if it's something that I could do right now, maybe you're not like dreaming big enough, or maybe that, yeah, go act on that. You probably should be doing that. But I don't think that's, it's, you could be pushing yourself a little bit more and maybe actually like dreaming a little bit bigger or really kind of going after it. So reframing it into a good thing, mm-hmm. leaning into the fear,
And dreaming big.
Like, so I think
if the imposter syndrome is present, it's legitimately validly here for a good reason,
yes.
right? Like, this is something I should feel an imposter in, because I'm in a thing that I've never done.
And if it's not,
before.
Maybe like sit down and be like, what if I dream just a little bit bigger? Like, what if
I remember hearing what you just said, which is, if your dreams don't scare you, they're not big enough.
Yes.
I think that was the quote. Don't know who to give credit to, but when I heard it, I'm like, do I have dreams that are scary?
Mm-hmm.
And if I don't, I should go sit somewhere and start doing some bigger dreaming. So when you dream big, that's a huge, like, probably theme of, I want imposter syndrome around. So I started out 5 years ago thinking,
of like,
how do I get
run
rid
away
of
from
it?
This? Yeah.
Yeah. And now I'm like, I want it. And if I don't have it around, then I'm probably not dreaming big enough.
Mm-hmm.
So we hope that
we need a new name for it.
We do, because, like, imposter syndrome sounds negative.
Yeah.
So we kind of want to, maybe we'll think about what are we going to start calling it in another episode. We'll come up with something that'll be our,
or share your ideas.
We have to figure out how you can share your ideas with us around what's some positive reframing. That's actually part of the reframing.
Yeah.
What's the new maybe buzzword that we can come up with, or phrase that will be the new version of imposter syndrome that reframes it in a positive light.
Like,
we'll do some thinking on that. Yeah. So we would like to end every episode with using our development path, taking the 7D words that we've come up with, and seeing if we can take a doubt and take it on the developmental path through the journey to destiny. So let's see. I'll take a doubt and I'll map it through, mm-hmm. and then you can take a doubt and do the same. So I would say a doubt for me was, I mentioned it a little bit earlier, was shifting. So professionally, I started working out at a law firm, and that was the only place I knew was, you know, where I was almost like professionally born and raised, is what I'll say. And stepping outside of that box, there was doubt that I could succeed outside of that box. And I took that doubt. And I said, what if I discover in my mind, what are the possibilities of where I could go, what I could do? And I decided to start, the next D is discernment. I started discerning that it was time, almost like the box I was in started to feel too small, and it was time to make a shift. I made a decision that I was going to step out of the box, doing it afraid. And I started, the decision to step out of the box started to become, went from scary doubt to exciting, because I started dreaming about the possibilities of what could come on the other side of stepping into the unknown. The doing was the execution. I did it. I stepped outside of the box, and I'm living in a destiny, I will say professionally, that is definitely beyond where the doubt started from. And I'm grateful that I didn't stick with the doubt, sit with the doubt, let the imposter syndrome rule and reign and prevent me from moving towards destiny. So that's an example of how you can take something in your life that I'm saying it in the past tense because it's one I did, but you can take something that maybe now you're like, this is something I'm doubting myself about. how could I map out taking it through these 7D steps, which will be in our show notes, and moving towards destiny? And I think in order to use this development path, you have to do some like visualizing what you think it will be and then seeing kind of what happens if you walk that path. And I love the idea of like mapping it out, not knowing if this is what it will be. And then you can go back to it and say, how close did I get? Did I shoot the shot well? Did it land? And it's okay if it does or it doesn't. That's not the point. The point of the exercise is to get your brain to move from a doubt to the dreaming of taking it to a space of destiny. So we wouldn't be here if we didn't take, okay, there's something going on, and what are we going to do with it? We're sitting in the destiny. So do you want to take a development journey with a doubt you had,
Eden? Yeah. Excuse me. So I think I would say the one that is most recent, and I feel like I'm still on actually this path, is when I was starting my own business, there was a whole doubt of even getting to that point. But then when it was like time and I'm like, what am I going to do? And all of that, I went quite literal. Yeah. Like I was like, I used to do event planning for a company. Like now I'm going to do event planning for myself. And it felt big in the sense that it was going to be my own business. But I can't say I was like super passionate about it. I was trying to add in all these like wellness aspects, and like the focus was not on the event. It was on like adding all this other stuff. So I distinctly remember I was like super emotional this one day, like literally in tears. And like my husband's like, you're starting, like this is such like an exciting thing. And like, why are you
not excited?
And like, I can tell if I say like one wrong word, like you're going to burst into tears.
Yeah.
So I remember like my eyes were like full of tears, like welling up. And he was like, what is it that you want to do? So I had gone through all of these things, again, like the discovery process of like all these ideas and like the event planning and all of that. But I remember in my gut, there was something else that was saying to me, but this is where the imposter syndrome coming in, where it was like, who do you think you are? Like, you cannot do that.
You wouldn't even dare say it out loud.
No, I wouldn't. I mean, I'm about to in a second, but like at that time, like I held it in for literally months. And even like my husband, who know, like I wouldn't even say it to him because I'm like, that's a joke.
But he discerns.
So the discernment, interestingly enough, I wouldn't even say was mine at
that. It was his.
It was his where he knew for sure. Like he's like, yeah, okay. Like I'm going to she needs to figure this out for herself, but I know this isn't it.
Yeah.
And in that moment, in my gut, everything was telling, like it was screaming, and I just literally didn't have the words to like bring it into like life of actually speaking it out loud. So I was like, yeah, event planning, like it's it. He's like, okay, well then I think you need to look a bit more excited about this. So I would say then I did follow that. I actually did do my business, but within that it was becoming like clearer and clearer. So the thing I was like so afraid to say was like, I feel like the term like life coach has just been thrown around so much and has turned into this thing, but I remember like listening to Lisa Nichols, and she like actually goes through this entire visualization process, and like I was in tears by the end of her like explaining just this process of like you being that, and I'm like, that's exactly what I want to do, but like that's so corny. Like I just was giving all these judgments of it, but then I made the decision, like, you know what, we're gonna lean into this, and I'm going to, let's just, like, let's say I do it. Like, what does that look like?
Well, you went from the decision and you married it with the dreaming.
So then I started
dreaming, like, what if?
Yeah, so then I
hypothetically speaking.
Right. Hypothetically speaking, what does this look like? Right. So I'm very, like, a visual and I like planning. So I, like, in Canva made this entire mind map of, like, what does this look like? Mm-hmm. What's the big dream? And funny enough, maybe I did share, but, like, I even had, like, podcast on there, not even thinking, like, I would ever actually do it together at this point. So really started like dreaming. And funny enough, that was a year ago, like right around now. It was March 2023. And then
The doing
kind of started in like other way. Like I started doing little way, like actually really like acting on it. And I actually think I like reversed some of this. I started kind of as if I was like living in my destiny of like, okay, what does this look like? I started really actually like leaning into social media, like I'm going to start posting about this stuff, talking about this stuff, having conversations with friends. So yeah, like that was my doing. And then
you started taking action, connected to the thing you were dreaming about.
And then And I was actually doing a lot of like coaching programs with women and everything. And then finally, I was exploring actual like certifications. So at another like meltdown moment, and my husband, I think again, discernment wise, is like something's going on. And then in December, I was finally like, okay, like I need to do a certification. So in December, I signed up. So it started in February. So I'm currently in a coaching certification.
Yeah, lots of doings.
So and then I'll be, I'll be certified in June. And yeah, in the process of like creating now my coaching business, creating my offer and sharing about it. And yeah.
Okay. So there's two examples of how you can take our development destiny journey, take a doubt, map it through, take it on the path, go on the mental and visual journey. I encourage you to get a pen and paper or get your computer out and literally take the seven things and plot something in, crystallize the doubt and take it through the steps and just guess at what you think the destiny might be. It's really hard to know where you're going if you kind of don't pick something. It's okay if you don't land there, but you're at least moving in a direction.
And one thing I actually just thought of that I would even say is if you like reverse engineer into even like going backwards. So like going to like, what is that biggest destiny, biggest dream? Like really feel what that feels like, what it looks like. And then like, you know what I mean? Like kind of even going back.
I love reverse engineering. It's pretty much how I've lived my life. I think of something I want to do and then I figure out what are the steps to do it. But you can pick a destiny if you know what it is, or you can pick a doubt. And the beauty of it is you can start at seven and work your way back to one, or you can start with one and work your way to seven. Do it however feels authentic to you, and we're all going to be in different places. Mm-hmm. So some people are like, I know exactly where the destiny is. I've just been too afraid to get there. Some people are like, I know what I'm doubting myself about. And if I remove the limits, who are you? What was it?
Uninterrupted.
Remove the interruptions, which is the voice of the imposter syndrome. And dream. And you can do it privately.
Absolutely. Right?
So then it's like,
I had to do that for months.
Right. And to each his own, right? Some people do it privately. Pull in a girlfriend and say, you know, I listened to this podcast. Mm-hmm. It opened up some pathways in my brain. I'm thinking X, Y, and Z. And share it. And if it's a trusted friend, you can say the thing maybe you're afraid to even reveal to yourself. Everybody's process is different, so you may process internally. I actually sometimes don't know what I'm thinking until I start talking to somebody. Mm-hmm. And it's in the talking that I discover things that I say a doubt. I discover, wait a minute, that's actually not true now that I've actually heard myself say it out loud. And then I can start going through, okay, what am I discerning is something that needs to change? Okay, what decision do I need to make? Remember, feelings follow decisions. So I got to make a decision in order for the feeling that I need to show up to come behind it. So then I start dreaming and then I start doing. And next thing you know, I'm in a place of destiny and I didn't even know that I could get here. So we encourage you to take the D's, use the development path, map it out for yourself, do it privately if you like, or do it with a friend if you want to do it out loud. And hopefully as we create a space to share for the community, we'll be able to hear stories of how people took imposter syndrome, that was this negative thing, and took it to a place of the positive thing that we don't have a name for yet.
We're going to figure that out.
We're going to come up with
that. Discover that.
Yeah, we'll discover that as we maybe take that thing and figure out how to make a more positive destiny word connected to it. And so we thank you for allowing us to spend this time with you to have a conversation around imposter syndrome. Hopefully we've reframed it for you in a positive way. To be continued until next time. Remember to unlock your queen
and unleash her dreams.